morning. Let me answer two questions which are somewhat connected. One of them is from Dhanvantari Das, and another one is from Rupamati Devi Dasi. And Dhanvantari says, can you please give instructions on how to properly practice brahmacharya very strictly in Krishna consciousness? I'm very serious about following brahmacharya till my death in Krishna consciousness. Please give me guidance and also bless me that I remain very sincere in its practice for life. And then Rupamati asks about vanaprastha for women. What is the internal meditation and the outward appearance should be? The questions, as I mentioned, are similar. They're also interesting. They pursue the concept for me of Varnashram, which Krishna himself defines on the basis of guna and karma. What qualities does a person possess and the type of service that he does. In either case, either the Brahmacharya Ashra or the Vanaprastha Ashram are places for the practice of spiritual life, and therefore should be done under the guidance of superiors or spiritual master, particularly Brahmachari. Brahmachari Guru Kule Vasadanto Guru Ritan. It means that he lives throughout his entire life for the pleasure and the service of the spiritual master. He has no independent lifestyle. Not long ago in Hungary, I was speaking with some devotee who was going to college, attending, visiting the temple sometime, living with his parents, and because he was following the principles, he put on saffron, or asked to put on saffron, and considered himself to be a brahmachari. I told him that that wasn't really appropriate, that he wasn't a brahmachari. A brahmachari neither lives at home, neither is a brahmachari just using all of his time to prepare himself for a mundane education, or at least that's not the phase of brahmacharya life. And then neither is a brahmachari independent, coming when he likes, does a little service when he likes. I would just say that that person is a student, and he fits into the category in Varnashram of what a child would be in the pre-5 or 6 age category prior to moving in to the ashram of the guru, Brahmacharya Guru Kule. So maintaining one's independence, living at home, one's life not being under the guidance of guru, senior devotees, this person's not a brahmachari. I don't know who Dhanvantari is, but I assume that being a brahmachari here, we're not simply talking about celibacy. Grihasthas are also celibate. Grihastha brahmacharis. So what we're actually talking about is a kind of lifestyle. And the lifestyle is the brahmachari, is that he is a temple resident, he's fully dependent upon the instructions of his seniors, temple president, spiritual master. He engages in full-time service, has no independent ideas, and lives like that throughout one's life. If one has that type of nature and is willing to submit like that, then that is the type of karma that one should follow. And then, of course, the idea of not associating with member of the obvious opposite sex, that's a given, that's understood. So if Dhanvantara Prabhu here is asking, how can I give him advice not to associate with ladies, that's one part of brahmacharya, but that in itself does not comprise all of the duties of brahmacharya. Rather, here I'm emphasizing that guru hitan, living for the benefit of others, giving up one's free will, or rather, more or less, the independence that a grihastha may have, limited independence that he has living outside, working, taking care of his family, while still under the authority of guru and also connected to a local temple, that the brahmachari does not have. And doing the type of services that's required of him, whether it be washing pots or preaching or distributing books, deity worship, and not accumulating, not being a proprietor of anything, nirmama moha jita sangha dosa, a grihastha. And now I'm not talking about a grihastha who's a full-time devotee or a temple dependent, but someone who is a supporter of the society may have his own personal assets. Brahmachari doesn't have any personal assets. Nirmama moha jita sangha dosa. Nirmama, he's not a proprietor. He doesn't have an apartment. His parents aren't managing a big bank account for him. He doesn't drive a car that's in an own name, even if it's going for Sankirtan. He has nothing. This is what a lifelong brahmachari is about. A transitional brahmachari, that may be something else. A brahmachari who's practicing brahmacharya for 1 year or 5 years, a training and preparation for grihastha life, he may have assets which he doesn't use during that period of time. You may say they're called frozen assets with parents or family members. And when he becomes a grihastha, then he may do that. But once again, he has that experience of complete dependence. As far as Rupamati's question about vanaprastha, that is also a similar situation. Vanaprastha, we usually use the term, is someone who travels and visits the holy places. The essence of that is that someone is fully dedicated to spiritual life. So like the brahmachari, in the last or later phase of life, one has already gone through the grihastha ashram, and having many obligations for family and home, now those having been fulfilled, one has a full opportunity to engage in full-time service in the temple, full-time service to the deities, preaching, and so on. Someone who's single, who is working and maintaining themselves, that is not the karma of a vanaprastha. A vanaprastha no longer works. He is either living off the monies that he's accumulated as a grihastha and the facilities that he set up for himself, or being maintained by the temple. So the karma is, once again, being in a dependent state and not having to concentrate one's energies on personal sustenance or maintenance. Here's another discussion which I had with a devotee just recently, and I was asking him this very similar point about vanaprastha. He's a nice devotee, preacher, and once again in Hungary, but he's lives outside, has a business, has assets, does investments, and so on, but he's not married. And I asked him, well, why aren't you married? What situation? And he said, oh, I don't really want to get married, because I think that will interfere with my service of preaching, and that will put me at risk, like I see that some ISKCON marriages don't turn out so well. I said, but what is your ashram? You have to have some kind of ashram to be in Varnashram. Varnashram is not just for people who are living in New Vajradhan. You're living here in Budapest. What is your ashram? So I said, well, I'll be a vanaprastha. And then we discussed this point, but vanaprastha isn't that you just take on a name and maybe take on a colored dress. That's the type of mundane mentality that Srila Prabhupada discouraged us from. Varnaprastha means, then, what is your karma? That means you no longer have a business. That means that you are either living in the temple or you live near the temple in minimal facilities that you maintain. That's fine. And you place yourself fully under the authority of local preachers, local devotees who will guide you in your service. You're no longer a freewheeling person who's preaching here and traveling there and doing business here and checks in the temple every once in a while and because you're not married, you call yourself a vanaprastha. That's not called a vanaprastha, it's called being a bachelor. And there's no such thing as bachelors in varnashram. So we're pursuing that line of discussion with him, and he's trying to understand that I don't want to get married. It doesn't automatically make you into a vanaprastha, but rather people should fit in to a particular ashram, and by fitting into a particular ashram, they're then properly situated. And that's our duty. Someone may not want to get married for some particular reason, but if he cannot have the appropriate behavior that's befitting for those who are not married, either the brahmacharis or the sannyasis, then he should recognize that he is a grihastha. And he should live as a respectable grihastha, carefully choose a proper spouse, and in that way be situated in varnashram. In this way, anyone, no matter where they are, they can be situated and practice some principles of a varnashram. But our society needs to have some kind of social structure, and there are no bachelors in Vedic structure. Okay, we'll be in touch tomorrow. Hare Krishna.